First shot, boobs. Second shot, blood. Third shot, violence. There's an explosion. Ha! Come see the movie.
Hi, I'm Ted Balliker with Reason TV. Today I'll be sitting down with filmmaker Marcus Dunstan. Dunstan and his partner Patrick Melton wrote the last three Saw films, including Saw 6, which hits theaters October 23rd. This summer, Dunstan made his directorial debut with The Collector, which he and Melton also co-wrote. So let's dive into Saw 6, whet the viewer's appetite a bit. What can they expect?
Well, what I'm truly excited about with Saw 6 is that for the first time in a series that's been around consistently every year on Halloween weekend, they elected to tackle a timely issue. It's an issue you can turn on your TV and hear about it every night. We've seen people fight about it, die for it, shed blood for it, and now this movie was a genuine, wonderful opportunity to say, oh, you think it's bad now? What if it was put through the Saw machine? And you'll really see this issue come to life in probably the most ferocious way possible, while hopefully taking a nice bit of joy and seeing what happens.
And that issue is?
Well, that's got to be the shh.
It's, if I ask nicely?
I literally had a phone call with the Lionsgate press saying, I'm going on. They might ask me a few questions. No plot details. We know where you live. Wow. And they do. And then they drop their voice, and you actually hear that.
You must have run into censorship issues at some point with the Saw films.
The line of what is too far changes from year to year. And it's, I had the good fortune to witness it a few times and witness the techniques on how to avoid that. I mean, you can run in and you'll screen these films in front of a room of people that are going to hold that line and determine where it is that day. Should they be offended, they can request that a whole heck of a lot of your show goes away.
Even things like, violence against animals is very taboo. I'm thinking of The Collector, which was your directorial debut, and the poor little kitty who gets peeled off
yes.
the ground.
So, in one case, a thief runs into a room and discovers that the floor has been covered with an adhesive napalm substance, but, oh, the family cat's stuck in it, too. And it's creating a very lifelike version of an alarm, going, instead of going, beep, 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 it's a cat with its hair melting off, going, freaking out. So I thought, wow, if we really push this just right and we do it, we can have something that'll absolutely keep their attention, be a genuine original moment. I think by this point we've seen every tool in the garden shed used on some teenager. Maybe this one can be owned by this very movie. This is something that you'll only see in that. And yes, it did involve destroying a lovely, lovely film cat. The actual cat, of course. All three of them that played that part were just fine. That was great.
So I thought you only killed bad cats.
Only bad. Well, this cat was an obvious racist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, so it's, no. Not even a GED. Just junk.
Well, you must have been gratified when you saw the reviews. You got great reviews. And I want to focus first on the new media aspect of that, because this outlet, Ain't It Cool News, that nobody had ever heard of, not so long ago, figured in very prominently in the promotion of The Collector. Can you talk about that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you get the right good review. For example, I think Ain't It Cool News was a lightning bolt of good fortune for The Collector, because it raised awareness of the film throughout town. Then all of a sudden, once it became a point of awareness in Los Angeles, we didn't have to create an event, a spectacle out of the time it would be shown. We would be receiving people that were already chomping at the bit to see it and providing the best time for them. So the movie had already had its introduction to them, so to speak. Then, the day before it comes out, I believe, when a wonderful review from Variety pops up, holy cow, it's not just the blogosphere that's saying this is okay. Now, Variety, the one that's also praising the latest drama, the latest, fine-tuned indie, something like that, it raises its profile, and it also gives it, I think, a sheen that is very helpful. We went from what would have been a modestly sized premiere in a very excellent gothic location, a cemetery, to, hey, we've got some good awareness. Let's have a proper premiere. We're going to the Man's Chinese. We're doing this. Mom, Dad, everybody's coming. And here's the after party right across the street at this fancy poolside hotel. And it was intoxicating on any number of levels to see that. Patrick and I, who had this idea for years and years and years and cultivated it, that became The Collector, we were able to stand and introduce it in front of an audience of our friends, family, and the people that sweat and bled to make it happen. And I think one is absolutely lucky to get one of those feelings in a lifetime.
You mentioned the Variety review, very strong. Mm-hmm. It uses the term torture porn. And
yes.
People talk, when they talk about Saw films, when they talk about the Hostel films, for example, you hear the term torture porn, gornography. Eli Roth, I think, doesn't much like them. But again, the Variety review used it in a positive context. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to those terms?
Well, I think one is, it's a classification that creates more of a subgenre than any reaction of, hostility for me. It's like, it's okay if this does feature such an act of intentional maiming and whatnot, then, you know what, sure. If I was to take a step back, it's like, yeah, this was the one where we've got three or four scenes that depict it, but there's also five scenes that are about the suspense movie, and there's a whole half an hour thriller. However, what strikes the biggest chord is, sure, it is going to be that the most intense, vicious moment of violence. And if that is surrounded and immersed in the world of torture, yes, by offering it out there, I'm asking for that label.
And if we can just touch on the censorship thing a bit more, there are certain things that in a TV trailer you can show and you cannot show.
Yes. However, then you go online. Online, all of a sudden, you can create, or you can even in theaters, create red band trailers that you can log in the age, and your content, one's content, is just, easily, it's just less restricted. It can have nudity, but only then in certain degrees. You can't go all the way over the top, but you can at least have a bit more freedom. And I think not a lot of films, not a lot of people get to see a lot of films a year. If they're, once they clear high school, college, they're probably locked into a job that makes them, maybe they want to do something else with their night and catch one movie a week or something. You've got five trailers before that movie, maybe, if you're, early enough to see them. However, online, every Tuesday, you can go to appletrailers.com and see them all and pick which movie you might want to see. And so there, wow, now all of a sudden your content can be exactly what you wanted to deliver if you're willing to have an age gate, do a red band, be submitted for that way. And that's been refreshing. That's nice. We had a young man named David Carlack make a blood band trailer. When our red band trailer for The Collector was deemed not red enough by the fans from the Ain't It Cool News site, we fought back with a blood band trailer, which was like, here it is. First shot, boobs. Second shot, blood. Third shot, violence. There's an explosion. Ha! Come see the movie. And it seemed to work out okay. So I think, the World Wide Web is, thank goodness, it's a wild frontier.